It's a foggy, murky Thursday morning in West London. I'm Gab. He's Jules. It's the Gab and Jules Show. We have a big Champions League episode coming up. Your boys, Paris Saint-Germain against Leipzig. We'll be talking about that, talking a bit about United's defensive prowess off of set pieces. Sorry, you guys knew that was coming. But one place to start. Let's start in Valdebebas. Nearly said the Bernabeu. Real Madrid against Inter. Jules, going into this, there's just not, I don't want to scare anybody.
Yeah.
Zinedine Zidane said it's like a final because if they lose this game, then they have 1 point from three matches. Yeah. And then we're kind of back to the usual gallows stuff. Didn't happen,
but it was a 3-2 win that could easily have been a 2-2 draw, for example, or even a 3-2 defeat, because Inter had chances to score a 2-2 as well.
And they had chances to score 0-0.
He had 0-0 as well.
They hit the crossbar, the Lautaro chance.
They had plenty of chances overall, which I still think that defensively there's something wrong somewhere there. Maybe it's Lucas Vazquez playing at right back because Carvajal is still injured and he's not a right back, and you can see that in his positioning and, you know, the way he moves, he's not so secure. I don't know if there's a problem with Sergio Ramos and Varane. Is Varane playing well or not? I don't know, but there's, for me, they're too exposed. They defend badly at times. We saw it on the second goal from Perisic, for example.
Was that Ramos's fault or Varane or both? Or we don't know because we don't know the instructions.
No, I think a bit of both. I mean, I don't see why Sergio Ramos has to come out so much. Then that line of the back four is all over the place, and then it's too easy for Lautaro to just head the ball down for Perisic. And then Lucas Vazquez doesn't defend well on Perisic either. So there's a lot, but they won the game. It was Conte against Zidane for the first time as managers after being teammates for so long. It was a big, important game, as you said, for Zidane and Real Madrid. In that group stage. It's just, I'm still not really convinced by what they're doing so far.
He's got work to do, but I guess it's a good place to be in. If you've got work to do, you've almost sorted it out, not quite, because it might come down to Real Madrid and Inter, one of these two teams going out.
Yeah.
And that could well happen. And I've been critical of Conte and his hair, which isn't really his hair and stuff, when he's merited it. But I look back at this and I look at these three games and I say, you know what? They're missing points that they should have. They're in last place. They have 2 points. I thought they should have beaten Gladbach. They definitely should have beaten Shakhtar Donetsk. And when I say should have, they did enough to win in those games. And this game, too, when you look at the chances, when you look at the goals they gave up 2 goals on colossal, colossal defensive errors. The Hakimi one, the back pass to the keeper, he might have been fouled or not, I don't know. But then, you're facing your keeper. Maybe you play a bit safer there, Ashraf.
Put it out for a throw-in. You don't care.
And then Sergio Ramos, by the way, shout out. 100 goals for Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, amazing achievement.
I mean, your defensive setup, he's entirely unmarked. Conte noted this after the game. Gee, should we maybe mark the second highest scoring defender in the history of the game? Although, Franck Leboeuf says he scored more goals than Conte.
Because he takes penalties.
Yeah, but so does Ramos now.
Okay. Yeah, true. Yeah,
but still. I mean, I guess I always try to look at performance more than results. These performances haven't been that bad for Inter, right?
No, I don't think so. You're right. And Lukaku was a big miss. We knew that before the game. Everything is played for him, you know, all the pattern of play, all the movement, everything. So when he's not there and you've got Perisic instead of him, who's a completely different style of player, it's obviously, I think, quite disturbing when you're a team like Inter. So I think they missed the opportunities in the first two games against Shakhtar and Gladbach, like you said. This one was always a bit tricky away. I think that they have to win at San Siro, the return fixture.
No question.
Against Real Madrid. Hopefully Lukaku will be back for that. We have to give a shout out to Barella for
already. Oh, I knew you'd love that.
I mean, Barella, if we could not love you more, we thought, before Tuesday. But now, this was exceptional. The assist of the competition already. I don't care if there's still 6 months of competition.
And fundamentally, by the way, I know the defensive midfielder is a disparaging remark, but fundamentally, he's not a number 10.
No.
He is not. He's a guy who runs around and tackles people. And,
exactly.
You know, he's got big stones. He's got big personality. Absolutely love the guy. The type of midfielder that we in Italy haven't had in a long, long time. But I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna close the segment with this, because somebody posted this and said, like, Barella is the kind of player that Verratti fans think Verratti is.
No.
Who you like more?
No, no. For me, they're completely different styles. But Barella, you know, even with the incredible assist, doesn't have the passing range that Verratti has. Under pressure, I don't think he can hold the ball as well as Verratti does. But Verratti can't run like Barella can. If I could, I would have them put together, and I think that would be a hell of a player.
Right. Fair enough. I looked at it, like, when people say, oh, but they're different. It's kind of like, yeah, ice cream and rhubarb are different, but ice cream is good, rhubarb is not. All right, podcast listeners, you get a bit of bonus content on Real Madrid. Now, we talked before about the return of Eden Hazard. He scored a phenomenal goal at the weekend. It's not going to be just flipping on the light. He's been out for so long that, and the movement, the mechanism of the team, it's going to take more time, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And we saw it on Tuesday in a game of this caliber. No offense to Huesca, but this is a different level. And I think you saw that even with all the goodwill in the world, with his motivation, he's just not ready yet to be able to perform well and be decisive in a game like this, I think, you know. And you're right, he would need more time to build his fitness up. He would need more time, hopefully, not to have a setback and show that he can play every 3 days for weeks to come. And I think also his understanding with Benzema, with his midfielders, will improve as well, because at times I thought on Tuesday he looked a bit uncertain on, you know, what to do and where to go and things like that. So good for him to be back, but you just can't expect too much from him certainly in those big games too early.
We highlighted some of those defensive deficiencies early with Zidane. And we've always said Zidane has so much capital built up at Real Madrid that, you know, nobody's invulnerable at Real Madrid, but he's in a pretty good place. Mm. That said, should we start having a go at him about some of those defensive screw-ups? Because I want to give something away, but later in the show, I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess we might give Solskjaer a bit of a hard time for some of that defensive. So should we be fair and say, all right, Zizou, you've worked with Varane and Ramos for years, right? Mm. Why does stuff like this happen?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think the problem at right back is part of it. A left back potentially as well when Marcelo plays. But if you look at the second Inter goal, if you look at the first Gladbach goal, the Thuram goal, where Ramos again comes out in the middle of nowhere, AWOL completely, in the middle of the pitch, almost misses the ball or loses the ball or loses the duel. And then after that, the back four is just completely all over the place. You know, you've got right back here and then Varane here and Ramos all the way up here and then left. And then it's easy then for Gladbach to pick them apart. It's easy for Lautaro and Perisic to pick them apart. And I don't think Ramos needs to go like this and come out of his position the way he did. I just don't really understand it.
All right, so you're not going to blame Zidane for that. You're
no,
gonna,
I do.
It's Vasquez, it's Ramos. Okay, no, I got it. I got a little confession to make.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit bad because going back to Inter, I retweeted the hashtag free Eriksen. I look back and I feel a little. And look, I do believe that Eriksen is there for a reason. And, you know, you need to figure out a way. You wanted this dude. And look, let's not go back to, oh, but Conte never wanted. No. Let's be very clear on this. Conte gets to make the decisions at Inter over these signings, right? So yeah. Conte did want him, and then whatever, you run into issues. But then I thought, you know what? Maybe this wasn't the game for Eriksen. Maybe Eriksen wouldn't have made the difference in this game. Was I being a bit unfair with my my hashtag free Eriksen?
No, you were not. Because I think he can bring a lot to this team. We said about Barella not being a number 10, but clearly playing in that position for a reason on Tuesday. Because, yeah, you could, you know, his work rate and his running and his the whole activity that Eriksen doesn't give the team, I think would be really helpful against the midfield of Valverde and all the other Real Madrid players. So I get it. I just think that Eriksen, if you play him well, can bring a lot to that team. It's just...
Yeah, I just feel like on the night, maybe I shouldn't have blamed Conte for the Eriksen.
No, maybe
this isn't that.
But would you blame Arturo Vidal more for the third goal? Because this is not a goal you should concede in the 80th minute.
No.
If you're 2-2 away at Real Madrid, if you're Inter Milan, you can't be so high that Vinicius has 50 yards to run into, cross the ball for Rodrigo, who's on his own in the box.
That is the perfect, perfect segue, because I was going to talk about that. So Arturo Vidal, look, just because somebody's older and was a great player and has been successful and whatever, it doesn't mean that you know, Conte's this idea that, oh, he's a winner, and look, big games, his experience counts. Yeah, he's a phenomenal player, winner, everything you want. Doesn't mean he always makes right decisions. He made a ton of bad decisions when he was younger, and he still makes bad decisions today. It's just part, you have to take the whole package. This is the kind of player that Arturo Vidal is, and sometimes that happens. And a follow-on from that, I think Ashley Young has now been in Milan for, what, 15 months, something like that? I love it. He is one of us. Ash, if you're watching this, you are now one of us, because after that third goal goes in, right, he tries to make a recovery at the back. You see him getting up. His hand gestures, he goes like this and like that.
Very Italian, indeed.
He's become Ash Young. He's Milanese now. It must be the lockdown. It must be all the time he spent. Honestly, Ash, you're one of us. And guess what? You're welcome on the show anytime. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules, let's talk mathematics. The transitive property. If A greater than B, then B greater than C. So, United destroy Leipzig.
Yeah.
Who then beat Paris Saint-Germain, last season's beaten finalists, which means it's pretty grim, right? Two defeats in three games?
No, it is grim. And it's that defeat on Wednesday night in Leipzig. It's not good for Thomas Tuchel. It's not good for PSG. Of course, they were without Neymar and Mbappe and Verratti and Icardi and Bernat. And
I mustn't forget Bernat.
Starting left back. But still, I thought for half an hour they did well. The game plan was good. They pressed high. They forced Leipzig to make some mistakes. We saw Upamecano losing the ball on the first goal. They had a penalty that Di Maria missed.
Can I jump in on that? Because, okay, I know you will... something tells me you will be critical of Thomas Tuchel.
Give me a minute.
But as a longtime Tuchelista, going down to his days in Mainz, back when he was, I am the rule breaker, as opposed to the giant insect that he is now. You know, he's somebody who's been on a journey. He's somebody who started out as a hugely tactical, hugely ideological, inflexible coach. I mean, maybe I see a little bit of the Ancelotti in him, who obviously went on a similar journey.
Yeah.
And then I feel that at Paris Saint-Germain, he had the humility to be like, all right, I'm at a big club. I have these players who are, you know, two of the best in the world, Neymar and Mbappe. I'm going to change my approach and not make it all about me and my tactics. I am going to give them more freedom, become more of a man manager.
Yeah.
And I just want to give him that little Valentine.
No,
just
a
in
good
case
point.
He gets sacked next week.
Yeah.
You know.
I hope so.
You hope so.
Yeah.
Because in this game, though, he went back to the beginning. He said, okay, Nagelsmann, you know, you're Das Wunderkind now, but I used to be that guy. I'm going to go out and press you high early in the game. I'm going to mess you up. You're not going to be expecting this. And I thought, for a while at least, you know, Paris Saint-Germain could have gone 2-0 up, and then it would have been game over.
Oh, yeah. But then his mistakes come back to haunt him. Why do you move Marquinhos from centre-back, one of the best in Europe, to central midfielder? Why then you'd move Danilo Pereira, who is a central midfielder by trade, who plays there for Portugal, who played there for Porto, and then you move him down as centre-back? It doesn't make any sense. You can do it in France, in Ligue 1, it's okay. It's not, you can play you as centre-back and me as central midfielder. That would be fine as well.
Why can't I play central midfield?
If you want to, we can swap like them. But not in a game like this, because eventually this will hurt you. And that's exactly what happened on the Nkunku goal, because Marquinhos reacts as a centre-back and not as a central midfielder. Danilo is a bit caught off position. Florenzi and Herrera especially, makes a mistake too. But still, you could see that it's just not working. And I don't understand why he keeps going on. Almost to make a point, hey, Leonardo, my sporting director, I wanted a centre-back, I wanted Rudiger. You said no, you got me Danilo Pereira. Now, to make a point, I play him at centre-back. It just doesn't work like this.
Let's talk about this a little bit, because obviously long-time Leonardo watchers will know that the man is handsome, he was a wonderful footballer, he speaks 50 languages, he will talk to anybody all the time,
yeah,
ever.
And he's got his thumbs up.
He's a charmer. Almost, yeah. Okay, so we have this situation where inevitably he's going to be under fire. And look, with the restrictions that they have in terms of financial fair play, Paris Saint-Germain, you can't get. Well, how was it water from a stone or whatever the expression is? But why is the tension ratcheting up between Tuchel and Leo? Because I would have thought Leo's been behind Tuchel, no?
But Tuchel is not his man. Tuchel was chosen by Doha, by the Qataris, before Leonardo came back to the club. You know, this was an Antero Henrique era appointment. So I think the relationship between the sporting director and the manager is so important, as we know. And when the guy who's in charge as a manager is not your guy, you didn't pick him, he's not your call, he's not your choice, there is always going to be tension. They just don't see eye to eye. They don't talk at all, which is wrong between a manager and a sporting director.
Yeah, makes no sense.
They don't agree. Thomas Tuchel was asked on French television on Wednesday night after the game, you feel under pressure? He said, no. Yeah, but what about your relationship with Leonardo? It's bad. No. But surely that has an impact on him. No. He kept saying no all the time, but he knows it's true. He knows all of that is true. You know that that's got an impact on the team when Leo and Tuchel don't talk, when they don't communicate, when they disagree on pretty much everything. So there's a point where at some point Leonardo will say, hang on a minute, you've got 6 months left on your contract. Firing you now would not make any difference financially, and then I can get Allegri, I can get Pochettino, I can get Gallardo, whoever they want. And that's it. And I think he can't make too many mistakes anymore now.
Darkness at the minute in the city of Leipzig. But shout out to Leipzig and my boy Nagelsmann. Yeah. He doesn't wear the weird suit anymore, and they beat Paris Saint-Germain. Actually, Jules, I feel a little bit bad and hypocritical about bringing up Nagelsmann's suit, because he's expressing his creativity. He's a young man.
Yeah, but he knew that's why he changed. He went more casual yesterday.
Yeah, he went more.
He knew.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not him. But we can show Leipzig some love, because look, they came off that demolition. They lost to Gladbach at the weekend, and I don't think they were that bad against Gladbach.
But they were not that bad against United. That game that never reflected, that 5-0 never reflected the game.
They weren't that bad. United, I thought, were that good. And I know, like, obviously revisionist history, they'll go back and say, oh no, just because, you know, they were terrible. But no, I thought it was a case where both teams played well, and I thought United. But anyway, we went through all that last week. He still has a number of key players out, and I think this still really, really affects him. I mean, Leimer in midfield is an important player.
Even Sabitzer is probably not completely fit.
Sabitzer's not fit. Halstenberg, Klostermann, you know, they're out. One comes back.
Konate,
they're not fit.
Coming back from a very long injury, but did really well yesterday. I mean. He went without Poulsen and Soler, so no striker again, which he's done already this season. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I have to say,
before, he didn't do it by choice, generally. Yeah. Here, it was by choice.
Yeah. When I saw it, I thought, okay, I thought this would play into PSG's hands. And I said, okay, I like that. I would have rather that before the game than having Poulsen up front or Soler and Kunku and Forsberg playing off him or Olmo.
Just to be clear, Poulsen, all right, he's not the most skillful footballer in the world, but he's a big physical dude who runs around. Yeah. He's a big presence. Yeah. And especially, as you said earlier, against Danilo, who's a midfielder, you know, having him beat him up a little bit, or even more so, the only living sore loss in captivity.
Yeah.
So it was a curious choice.
It was. But you have to say as well that once that first half hour had gone, and Kunku, Olmo, and Forsberg, by the way, back to his best, clearly. The movement, the intelligence is incredible. And then they cause problems because of that fluidity, because of that movement, plus Angelino, who is really, really a good... He's a wing-back. He's a bit like Hakimi. I'm not sure as a left-back, but certainly as a wing-back. It's fantastic. And I think you need to give Leipzig credit, as much as we've criticised PSG and Tuchel before. They played well, even one goal down. Gulacsi makes obviously a huge save on the penalty. But after that, they kept going. Aidara misses that big chance. They keep going, keep going, keep going. And I think in the end, they deserve their win, I think.
Do we add Angelino to the list of players that City, if they could go back and take a mulligan and have a do-over, would walk into the side right
is
now?
Is it because Pep was impatient? Is it because Pep saw, okay, the guy can only play as a wing-back, he can't play as a left-back, and I'm never going to play with wing-backs, so may as well send him and get 25 million?
First of all,
million.
You have played with wing-backs. Yeah, second of all, like, what do you think Zinchenko does when he, you know,
you
had a great season with Zinchenko.
When I see Angelino yesterday, I think, like, how on earth is he not playing at City?
Is Cancelo a full-back? Anyway, we digress on City.
Yeah.
Let's take it back. The red cards. Because that was the undoing there. And obviously that's going to have a knock-on effect because
for the return
suspensions.
Picture. Yeah. Gay, I think, is a bit harsh, the second yellow on Gay, especially with half an hour to go. Kimpembe, I've got no excuse for him, no sympathy, no justification on how you can let your team down that much. When the game is lost, there's 30 seconds to go. You're not going to score. You're 2-1 down. Poulsen is in his own half. You don't need to make a foul like that and to get a second yellow. And to be fair, it could even have been a straight red for that bad rush tackle from behind.
You're an international. You're a captain.
You're 24. You've been so impressive this season. Even Capello on Tuesday said, oh, Kimpembe is really impressive. Then you do and make something silly like that, stupid like that, that costs your team because you're going to miss the return fixture, as we say. It's just, I think it's unacceptable.
Just to fill in, when Neymar and Mbappe aren't there, as was the case last night, who is the de facto, because people, we always make a big deal of this, like, you know, who is the leader here, who comes in, and who would you look for in that Paris Saint-Germain team to be the guy to lead them, to be the guy saying, calm down, let's not do something rash or stupid, or
Marquinhos has to be Marquinhos.
It is Marquinhos, yeah. Right?
And Kimpembe, in a way.
Kimpembe. And then it's Kimpembe who goes and does that.
Exactly.
Right, enough Leipzig, enough Nagelsmann, enough Paris. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Manchester United fall away to Basaksehir here, 2-1, as a 35-year-old Demba Ba scores a goal that will live on forever in highlight clips everywhere. Jules, what's the follow? And can you just describe this for those who've been hiding under a rock and see what happened here? Because this is extraordinary.
It is. Would have never seen anything like this before at this level. It's a corner for United on the 12th minute. So we're not talking 90th minute. It's not a game they're chasing. They need to score or something like that. But somehow, for some reason that I think no one can explain, they all go up for the corner. Literally all of them, leaving Demba Ba on his own, literally on his own, in his own half, near
just
the half
inside
line,
the half, yeah.
Just inside his own half, but on his own, which means that
he cannot be offside, by the way, kids,
offside.
Just so you realise that.
And it's not even a ball over the top that Basaksehir, it's just they clear the ball from that corner and the ball arrives on Demba Ba, who's on his own and just has to run half the pitch with Matic trying to recover behind. And
that's then exactly who you... I know Demba Ba is old, but that's exactly who you don't want chasing him, is Nemanja Matic.
Yeah, exactly. But Nemanja Matic should not have to chase anything anyway. He should have seen already that Demba Ba was there on his own. What are you teaching the kids at football when you're a coach is, okay, even when you have a corner, you leave 2v1 from the opposition, leaves a striker or someone up front. You don't leave him on his own. You certainly don't do that. And for a team like United, I mean, I have got no words.
So
I don't know.
Standard operating procedure here is you normally leave your fastest player who is likely, at least likely to contribute on the attack. So,
yeah. Hey,
they have that ready-made Aaron Wan-Bissaka,
exactly.
Right?
This is exactly. What was he doing in the box?
That is one of the big mysteries. Or because the corner was on Wan-Bissaka's side, if you want him and they play the corner short, if you think he's somehow going to surprise you by participating in the build-up, then you move Luke Shaw across or somebody else. Now,
no one is even marking Demba Ba.
Nobody is near him. And you know what? Again, Solskjaer knows what the assignment was. What is, I think, is worrying and shocking is there's not a single United player on the pitch. And I know we're supposed to blame Paul Pogba for everything, but he wasn't on the pitch. So I think we can't blame Pogba for this one.
No, we can't.
Who says, hey, look, Demba Ba, the guy who scored the goal that stopped Liverpool from winning the title, he's all on his own. Somebody pick him up.
But it's not even
not
that.
Not a single person.
But there's that, and you're right. But the worst is that at training, you work on set pieces. You work on your defensive corners and on your attacking corners. And when you work on your corners, you say, okay, Maguire, you go near post, for example. Twanzebe, you go far post. We're going to leave two on the edge of the box, and we're going to leave two on our halfway line. This is the plan. There was the plan. I refuse to believe that McPhil and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, all their staff, don't prepare those corners. And it can be such a mess. You know what I had to do? I counted the players. I thought some had gone to the toilets. Yeah. Some were doing their laces. I counted them. Is there really 10 United players? Unbelievable.
I had this conversation with somebody last night who said, like, oh, but, you know, is it really Solskjaer's fault when the players let him down like this? And look, it's one of three things. As you said, there is a plan there, right?
Surely.
So, you know, it's either Solskjaer gives them instruction and they don't follow it, which does not reflect well on Solskjaer. Solskjaer gives them the wrong instructions, which does not reflect well on Solskjaer.
Yep.
Or Solskjaer doesn't give them any instructions, which does not reflect well on Solskjaer.
Sorry.
There's no escaping this. Now, all that said, is he in danger? Is his job in jeopardy? When should it be in jeopardy? When they have 6 points, they've got, you know, and they have Başakşehir here at home? I don't think so. I think there's still a very strong chance that they advance from this group stage. And I don't think this is the time.
Maybe. But there's a big game at Everton on Saturday, or this weekend. And if they don't win that, I think he would have to be worried. Diogo Jota comes up big for Liverpool heading into the clash with Manchester City this weekend. Gab, were Liverpool good or were Atalanta awful?
I thought this was all set up for Atalanta, because given that Klopp had lost every single game that he played in Italy with Liverpool, given all the players who were out, you know, Fabinho, Van Dijk, Thiago Alcantara. But in reality, I should have known otherwise, because Atalanta are up and down. Where Atalanta suffer is when they play high-energy teams where it's a series of one-on-one battles. And when the other team has better players, and they have, they will destroy you. I think this is a huge boost for Liverpool. Also, remember, they were coming off, four wins, but four dirty wins, as Klopp likes to call them. Lionel Messi and Gerard Piqué score as Barcelona overcome Dynamo Kiev. But Jules, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, who's coming back, huge return for him, he had to make a string of tremendous saves. And, of course, Dynamo had 9 players out due to COVID, just 13 senior pros. Not good.
Not good. I don't think they played really well. They had plenty of chances, Barca. They could have scored more. We will come to the Dynamo Kiev keeper in a bit. But yeah, you're right. Ter Stegen had to save them at times. Defensively, I thought they were all over the place. Frankie de Jong plays a centre-back with Piqué. I mean, Frankie de Jong cannot play in that position, not at that level, I think. You know, this is crazy stuff.
No.
And Messi scored, but it's again a penalty. He has only scored on penalty this season, so that starts very worrying. There's that footage of him at the end not doing any pressing, clearly being completely disinterested about what was happening.
It's the same footage that we see every year, and then he ends up scoring 50 goals.
And I hope he does. Yeah. But they won't. I think that's the most important. That's what Koeman will take. But again, on the back of the previous games, the previous results, it's a bit worrying, I think. Gab, we need to give a shout out, as I was saying, to the Dynamo goalkeeper too, because I'm not sure if you heard of Ruslan Nesharet before Wednesday night.
No, I had no idea who the hell this guy was, frankly. this was only his second start ever.
Yeah.
I think he had one in the league before that.
He's 18.
He was unbelievable. He's 18 years old. Again, you think... you suggested earlier you got to go all the way back to Iker Casillas to find a debut like this.
Yeah. At that age.
In the Champions League, at that age, unbelievable stuff. Bayern win 6-2 away against Jesse Marsch's Salzburg. Was it as comfortable as it looked, Jules?
No, not at all. They took the lead, Salzburg. They even come back. They came back to 2-2 as well, because they put them under pressure. There was so much movement. I think eventually they ran out of energy and steam. And then in the end, Bayern scored 3 goals in the last 5 minutes or something to make it 6-2, but it showed again some of the weaknesses, you know, and places where you could get at this Bayern team. Meanwhile, Gab, David Alaba has reportedly broken off negotiations over a new contract with Bayern. He's 28 and will be a free agent in the summer. Is this a big deal?
Well, Bayern say it's not a big deal. They say, he has a greedy agent, Pini Zahavi, who's now advising him. We don't want to give him the money that he's asking for. It's been leaked that he's asking for, you know, Lewandowski, Müller-type money, Neuer-type money. That would then have a knock-on effect on other players renegotiating, blah, blah, blah. Look, I think he's a youth team player. It's his right to get paid. Mm-hmm. I still think he's got a lot of football in him, especially at center half. I think he would be a tremendous signing on a free for a top club looking to settle their defense. It's as simple as that. And equally, I have no issue with Bayern letting him go, frankly, because, you know, it gives you a chance, frees up space for somebody else. Yeah. Chelsea roll to a 3-0 win over a heavily depleted Rennes, and they do it without Kai Havertz, who tests positive for COVID. Probably the highest profile COVID case we've had among the Premier League so far. Yeah. Jules, you were there.
I was there. I was a bit disappointed by Chelsea's performance. Maybe they knew they were going to win it anyway, but they had two shots on targets in the first half. They were the two penalties. The way the referee that game, the red card to Rennes, the second penalty, I thought that was a bit too much, but hey, they won 7 points. Job done. Manchester City rest a bunch of players and beat Olympiacos 3-0 on Tuesday night. Gab, how big is it that Gabriel Jesus came back from off the bench, from injury, scored as well, especially before the game of the weekend?
It's huge. Ferran Torres has been wonderful in that role, but he's not a centre forward. His movement is different. He may become a centre forward one day. Guardiola noted that, you know, they're not scoring enough goals, 9 goals in 6 games, and Gabriel Jesus, his movement is crisper. It helps everybody else score. So it is really, really big, I think. Borussia Dortmund beat up Bruges 3-0 as Erling Haaland gets another 2 goals. Haaland, you like how I did that? I sound Norwegian. Yeah. Jules, good warm-up ahead of Der Klassiker against Bayern München this weekend.
Really good. I mean, Bruges played well, I thought, but Dortmund were fantastic. So clinical. Meunier on the right-hand side. Haaland, as you said, Joe Reyna had a really strong game too. It's good. It's a huge game at the weekend, and I think they prepared it well with that win. Alvaro Morata scores twice as Juve win 4-1 away at Ferencváros. Gab, he's worked out how to stay on side, right, now?
Yes, he has, Jules. The Ferencváros keeper made 2 colossal mistakes. So this is still a work in progress, but it's encouraging. Morata scoring, Juve get the 3 point. They move forward, builds a little bit of confidence, baby steps. Now they need to sort it out in the league.
And his relationship with Ronaldo looks really good already.
It's hard not to have a great relationship with Cristiano. Ajax beat Michelin 2-1. But Jules, it's COVID chaos as first 11 players test positive, and then apparently key men like Gravenbach, Onan, and Tadic test negative, and they're allowed to play. Why? Why do we have this mess?
So they didn't leave with the team to go to Denmark, but then some of them joined the team. They were on the team bus to go to the stadium. Gravenbach, Tadic, Onana, and then Klassen, for example, arrived on his own just before the game in a cab, and you were like, such a mess. I don't know if they didn't want to communicate, they didn't communicate well, but in the end, when we thought they had a decimated team, they had almost their strongest side. Really strange story. Felipe Caicedo gives Lazio a last-minute equaliser away at Zenit. But Gab, there's COVID chaos there too, and the Lazio doctor is under fire, right?
Look, we had this last week when they had all those players out going to Bruges, and then they play at the weekend, and it's not clear. This all seems to be with the way the testing works in UEFA versus the testing in other countries. I mean, we saw it with Ajax. What's not... And the idea that you might test positive by UEFA standards, but not domestically. Look, the Lazio team doctor, Ivo Pulcini, whose name incidentally means chicks in Italian, he says he doesn't believe that, you know, if you're asymptomatic and you test positive, it doesn't believe that you're contagious. I don't care what the hell this guy believes. It's not your competition. It's the Champions League. Just stick to the rules and make sure your players are eligible by the rules.
Please.
Borussia Mönchengladbach destroy Shakhtar Donetsk 6-0. And Alassane Plea, as the ignorant call him, Alassane Plea, as the rest of us call him, gets a hat-trick. Jules, celebrate your boy.
Yeah, he deserved it, because even if he's not from Paris, which is a real shame.
And he's not even the best French striker on the team.
But still, he was fantastic. The movement, how clinical he was. The second goal is a wonderful strike. It's easy, I think, when you play with a team with so much movement, so many options, when you have the ball come in, great service, all of that. It's brilliant. I mean, I don't know where Shakhtar were. This can't have been Shakhtar. That's probably Hull City from a few years ago. This could not have been Shakhtar, but player took his chances so well. Gladbach played so well. They easily could have scored. They could have won 10-0 or 10-1.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is almost like a rerun of the Inter game.
Incredible.
Like, it's just that Inter didn't finish their chances and Alassane Plea finished.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly, give me your top 3 French center forwards. Not named Mbappe. Come on. Is he in there?
No, he's not. He's not.
He's not. Not.
No, I would have Karim Benzema. I would have Olivier Giroud.
Because he's more handsome.
Because he's family. And then I'll have probably the third one. I would go... Griezmann or Ben Yedder.
Oh, you guys are so stacked. You're so deep.
But we have
Ciro Immobile. We have Ciro Immobile.
Yeah, Andrea Belotti. You're jealous.
Oh.
I can maybe loan you one if you want.
Seriously, why can't we take Benzema on loan? You don't need him. Deschamps won't call him.
Man. I can see him singing the anthem. Fratelli. Mamadou Sakho has won a court case against WADA, who apologised for banning him back in 2016 for obviously a doping positive test. He says that it cost him his place at Euro 2016 and also his Liverpool career, Gab.
Yeah, so this is a weird one. He sued them for 15 million euros, which is a lot of money. Now, they settled. They reached some sort of financial settlement. We don't know how much it is.
Yeah.
Personally, I think he has a point, because what happened here to him is he tested positive for some fat-burning substance, which was on... Apparently, he was on the specified list, but not the control list. Anyway, he took his 30-day ban, but... Some of the negative publicity surrounding him, the court found, and this came from WADA, and the way WADA described his offenses, where, you know, unfortunately, we in the media, and I think fans at large, are like, oh, look, he tested positive. He's a drug cheat, right? That led to him not going to Euro 2016.
Yeah, definitely.
And he would have gone, right?
Oh, he would have started. He would have started.
And France would have won the Euros. And
surely.
Okay. But equally, I think it also set... A path in motion with Liverpool. I know officially he fell out with Klopp on the tour. He was late to a training session.
Yeah, there were other issues. Yeah,
there might have been other issues, but, and I'm not going to say this with no disrespect to Crystal Palace, but your potential as an endorsement, maybe your potential to a player, you know, he was in mid-career. Everything was affected by this, and you know, if we are going to report on doping and drugs in sports, we need to be accurate and understand. What is a performance-enhancing substance? What the different ones are? Because, you know, there are victims of this as well,
definitely.
And he is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
All right, we got to talk Arsenal here. Jules, what's up with William Saliba?
I think it's sad because he was not included in the Europa League list, in the Premier League list.
Wasn't included in the Champions League list either, but that's because...
No, I mean, the whole idea, I think, was to loan him again. I think Arteta didn't really feel he was ready just to play for the first team, simply because he hadn't played for so long because of the injury he had last season, not because he's not talented enough or not working hard enough, not just because of a lack of match fitness and, you know, and stuff like that and appearances. The problem is it just could not work out a deal with Saint-Etienne on literally the last minute of the transfer window, so he ended up staying and now he can't play. So it's a real shame. I think he will go on loan in January and he just has to train hard, work hard between now and then. It's just, I would have liked to see him with that first team.
He could train with Ozil. I mean, I'm great.
And Papa Socrates.
Joking aside, I'm assuming there were players they were hoping to move. You know, some, like, not just Ozil. Robert, Ozil was never going to happen. But Papastathopoulos, for example.
Yeah, to Napoli. They were hoping to do that.
That might have freed up a space or not move. But again, I go back to this. It shows you how important squad building is.
Planning,
getting your ducks in a row. Mm. And I'm sorry, I don't want to pick on Edu. Nice guy, but, you know, not the clearest of thinking.
No, I know. More Arsenal, Gab. Roy Keane says it's inappropriate that some of the players call Arteta by his first name. I mean, what is this?
I don't know. They should be calling him Gaffer or Boss.
Boss.
Or Mister, if they're Italian.
Mister, yeah. What?
You know what? If you ever want to, like, go down that route of defining sort of dinosaur, old school, it doesn't matter, you know. They could call Mikel Arteta George if they wanted to. It doesn't freaking matter what you call him. If he feels a certain closeness to his
Michael
players.
Arteta.
I mean, look, some of these guys are almost his age, you know?
So
I mean,
some played with him.
Yeah, if he's comfortable with it. Why doesn't Arteta decide what they call
and
him?
And trust me, if he wasn't comfortable with it, he would say to them, hang on, I'm not Mikel, I am...
I would hope
Mister.
So.
Do you see what I mean?
It's ridiculous.
I guarantee you that. This is just...
Sevilla go down to 10 men for 45 minutes and still manage to come from behind to beat Krasnodar. Oh, yeah, but by the way, are they no longer Kuban Krasnodar? Are they just Krasnodar?
Yeah,
is that a different
thing?
Sorry. All right. Show me my ignorance. Anyway, Sevilla win 3-2. Jules, do you want to celebrate Lopetegui's grit and the fight back or do you just want to drool, since you like your techers, you just want to drool over the wunderkind, Shapi Suleimanov? Is he the new Miralem Pjanic?
Well, I don't know if he is. I hope for him he does. He is, or becomes what it is. But that left foot is sensational. I have to tell you that. That free kick is wonderful. Then he's involved in the penalty that they get. Although it's a bit of a dive from him at the beginning, but then Koundé makes a mistake. And what's funny was not, you know, is that on the other hand, the match winner for Sevilla is Enesiri, who is not a bowler. He's not as gifted technically as Suleimanov, and yet he comes on, wins the game. He usually misses chances more than he scores them, but then on this time it's clinical. Jesus Navas, you feel a bit for him for the red card. I mean, I think the last time he was sent off was like 14 years ago or something crazy like that, and yet...
Who, the last time? Oh, Lopetegui.
Jesus Navas was sent off.
Right.
Was such a long time. You know, this is not the kind of thing that you see from Jesus Navas.
No.
So you feel a bit for him, but well done Sevilla, because with what happened between Chelsea and Rennes, it was a huge win for them to come back the way they did to win. So, but Suleimanov, just remember the name though.
Shapi Suleimanov.
Shapi.
Just Shapi on the back
Shapi,
of a shirt.
Yeah, so cool. Well, because there's never enough Barca in this show, Gab, as you know.
Come on, they're more than a club, man.
Yeah, of course. So more than one quick hit for them, of course. Ronald Koeman is facing a 12-match ban for his comments about VAR after the Clásico. That's 12. I mean, that's not going to happen, right? But I would love
that. Now, like, I should point out, I saw this story, I think it was reported, and asked, I don't know, look, what he said, he complained about VAR, I think we should, I think managers should watch what they say.
Yeah.
I do have an issue, I think he should be punished. But 12 games? 12 games? Really?
12 is just
really?
Like, ooh.
Come on now, come man. On. Free
come
Rambo.
On. Be serious.
Sergio Regulon told Spanish radio show, legendary Spanish radio show, El Larguero, that Spurs built, Gareth Bale, a whole golf course at the training ground to help entice him back. This is not quite true, is it?
No, I mean, someone did a good joke on him, though, poor Sergio, who's really sweet, you know, and young and inexperienced. No, he probably saw there's a little putting play area, let's call it that way, for visitors' car park. Yeah, not even the players' car park at the Spurs training ground. I think he saw that and said, oh my God, they did that for Gareth. Amazing. No, it's not the case. But Gareth has enough lovely golf courses around North London anyway. So
play along.
Yeah, exactly. Diego Maradona is reportedly recovering well after his brain surgery. Gab, we wish him all a speedy recovery at ESPN.
Yeah, I think everybody does, and even the people who dislike him, obviously. I want to see him back on the sidelines. I want to see him back at his very best. Get well soon, Diego.
Yeah.
Right, that's all we got time for, but shall we come back on Monday?
Something tells me there would be a big, big show on Monday.
Yeah, I think a couple big games this weekend. Look out for Bayern and Borussia Dortmund, as well as City and Liverpool. Till then... love the game, love yourself, love your neighbor.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjewels, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjewels now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/gabjewels.